Well, again, this morning I want to take a moment to introduce to you Janetta Ross with the Women's Care Center. We celebrate the sanctity of human life every day, but we have set aside this particular day, many churches across America and various other places, to put an emphasis on the sanctity of human life and the work that we are to do as Christians to continue to reach out to help women who are faced with very difficult decisions. And so I'm excited to have Janetta share with you today her testimony and the work of the Women's Care Center. So would you make Janetta feel welcome, please?
And thank
God bless you,
you
Janetta. So glad you're here.
Good morning. I want to thank Pastor Mark for inviting me here to speak on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And again, my name's Janetta Ross, and I'm the Director of Development at Women's Care Center. I want to acknowledge a few folks that are in your congregation today as really the heart and soul of Women's Care Center. I know that Becky Miller is here somewhere. She's one of our volunteer nurses. I know Jenny Williamson, I just saw her, and she's one of our nurses. I know Heather Bernowski goes here, and she's not here this morning because she's sick, but she's our nurse manager. And we're just so grateful that these women from your congregation are a part of our ministry there. And is there anyone else here who may have volunteered at the center over the years, or anyone I've missed? Oh, there's Doris. Yes, okay. I knew you might be here, Doris. So sorry. So grateful for all of these women and any of those that have served and didn't raise their hand. I'm excited and nervous and humbled to be able to speak with you on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I consider it an honor for your pastor and for your church to let us address you today. I want to tell you about the ministry at Women's Care Center and discuss the subject of abortion, the significance of Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and at the same time weave my personal testimony throughout the talk. 2017 was a really pivotal year for me, and I'd volunteered at the center for several years, but at the very beginning, in January of 2017, I actually took a staff position. Until the last 3 years, there were 2 days on the calendar when I hurt so badly inside, I was likely to hide all day, or I kept myself so busy that I might be able to forget, not stop so I could forget. First, it was Mother's Day, and then after I became a Christian at the age of 32, I could add Sanctity of Human Life Sunday to that list. I want you to know how significant it is for me to be standing up here talking to you on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. This is the first year that Satan won't keep me silent and holding on to a secret that's been killing me from the inside out. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly, John 10:10. So in 2017, this is the year that I slowly and surely live abundantly. For me, and I'm going to tell you more about it shortly. Most of you probably know that the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday was instituted in 1984 by Ronald Reagan. It was instituted to coincide with the anniversary of Roe versus Wade in 1973. And this made abortion legal in the first trimester without interference by the state. And since that day, the laws have expanded, and in many states, it's even legal for late-term abortions. And since Roe versus Wade, there have been an estimated 60 million lives lost to abortion in the U.S. And believe it or not, the U.S. pales in comparison to other countries. For example, in 2015, there were 15 million lost to abortion in just 1 year. However, there is good news, especially here. The Center for Disease Control reported in their most recent official report on abortion, which was year 2014. It takes a while for them to get the statistics verified, but there's a 40-year low in the abortion rate, and it actually continues. It's still continuing to decline, according to 2016 and news from 2017. There's more good news, though. There are more pregnancy help centers. We outnumber the number of abortion facilities 3 to 1. And there were 49 abortion facilities closed in 2017. So there's a lot of news to celebrate. And many of you may know also that the president actually addressed the March for Life, which is the first time that's ever happened. So that was great, historical, on Friday. When we meet with women at Women's Care Center, the greatest tools that we have are God's Holy Spirit and the ultrasound. We need to reach her where she is today. We're a medical clinic and we're a Christian ministry. All of our services are free, thanks to donors like you in Porterfield. Our medical services include pregnancy testing, ultrasound, STD testing and treatment. We provide educational information, emotional support. We have Shepherd's Fold, which is a baby item, and maternity ministry for those women that are parenting, and they can come once a month up until the baby is a year old to get everything that they need. And we share the gospel of Jesus Christ as often as they will let us. We're meeting with a patient during pregnancy tests to learn their intentions, who's speaking into their life, and what they're currently thinking about the outcome of their pregnancy. We know that statistics say that we have 4 days from the time that she finds out that she's pregnant until she makes a decision about the life of the little one. We know there's a battle going on in many of their hearts. We can't think strictly like a pro-life person to reach the undecided, the abortion vulnerable, and the abortion minded. We have to understand that many times they're not operating with the same principle or moral framework. And even if they do have the same moral framework, they're scared and the fear can take over. We know they're looking to self-preserve their current status in life in many cases. They believe this to be the only option that will allow their lives to continue the way they want, or sometimes they just can't see a way that it's even possible with finances, living conditions, abuse. We may not agree with how women are evaluating their pregnancy, but to be effective, we have to listen and try to understand their concerns. We have to love on them, and we need solutions to their concerns. They're being taught that abortion is a choice that they can make, and right now our laws agree with them. I don't know what face or image that you attribute to an unplanned pregnancy. I think many times that our patients think that they're very young, unwed mothers, and that's what we do at the Women's Care Center. The truth is that the age range is very broad. We only saw 2 patients under the age of 15 last year. Only 20% were 15 to 19. So the largest group was 20 to 24, 36% of our patients, and you can see the statistics right there. We also, the face of unplanned pregnancy varies greatly. These are actual examples of people we saw last year. A young college athlete, the married mother who thinks she can't handle another mouth to feed, the young professional who thinks this is not the right time. You can move the slide. And the woman who doesn't know who the father of her baby is. If it's this person, she's this far along, it may be this person. If she's this far along, it may be somebody else, and I don't want to be tied to him. All the way to the very needy, homeless, no help, no resources. All of these are women that we've seen in the last year. You wouldn't believe the stories that we hear. They're stories that would break your heart. There are stories where you can almost visually see the struggle between good and evil in the world, in the face and the words of these women. This work that Jenny and Heather and Becky and Doris and all of our volunteers and our nurses do is very hard. And so I would ask you to pray for them, especially those that are in your congregation that you know are listening to these stories. Pray for them because they go home with this. And, you know, they work really hard to give it to the Lord and to leave it there. But I know that they take these stories home on their hearts because I do too. So just pray for them. We want to get our patients to look beyond their fear. My description of what we do is women come in like this a lot of times, almost with deer in the headlight looks sometimes. And we're trying to get them to go like this and just look around at life, at the resources that are available to them. So we work with them to help them understand where they are, or help us understand where they are, and through prayer and ultrasound, open their eyes to life. Wow, how I wish I would have walked into a center like Women's Care Center in 1984 instead of the one I walked in. That's why I'm there. Women's Care Center is a place of sweet aroma, and I love this verse. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. And I believe this is where the Women's Care Center is. We're a sweet aroma. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the one an aroma from death to death and to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. I know you also know the verse, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I know that you know that we came into this world as sinners. So before I stepped foot into an abortion clinic, I was a sinner and I needed a savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. My abortion and the regret and the guilt and the shame nearly took my life. It did take years of it. There were days where I couldn't get out of bed. So at 32 years old, I heard a story about a Savior who loved me in spite of my sin, who died to take all my sin away, including the sin of abortion. I, like the woman at the well, proclaimed, "Come see a man who knew everything I ever did." And I fell on my knees and I surrendered and I repented. I gave my life to Christ and was turned in the opposite direction in everything, and I mean everything. Ask my children. We did everything the opposite of what we did before. I had a new life. The sin had been forgiven. I felt a weight off my chest and was walking in new life. And I want to be very, very clear with you. The blood of Jesus Christ covered my sin, including the sin of my abortion. I didn't always walk in the victory that Christ provided, though. I still had years of hurt and season of depression. I still had this veil up that made me incapable of completely connecting and loving my children in the way that I knew I should. God had made me a much better parent, though, because now I wanted them to know him, and I did everything in my power to make sure he was the Lord of our lives and that church was a part of our regular life now. When I was 38, I moved back to West Virginia from the Dayton, Ohio area. Satan had a field day in my mind on this particular move. I'd moved back around the people and the place where they knew me. They knew my old self, where I'd made all my worst decisions. I spent an entire season this particular time in bed most of the day. And I feel like this scripture describes depression, and this is how I felt. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I was able to get some professional Christian counseling, and through concentrated prayer, God pulled me through that particular season. Philippians 3:13-14 became a treasured verse for me. But one thing I do, that's on the next slide, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I think Paul was referencing in this particular verse when he wrote it, he was actually referencing things that he did that were good for the Lord, because he says, not that I have been perfected. So he was making himself not, you know, think of the good things he had done, but to move on and to keep working. But I knew that I needed to quit living in the past. So this verse really spoke to me in trying to pay the price that Christ had already paid, because I was still trying to beat myself up and do everything I could to make myself miserable, because that's how I felt I should live. I needed to believe everything that the Word said about me and live like I believed it, so I could take hold of the abundant spiritual life that Christ had for me. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard this Chris Tomlin song, Good, Good Father, and I wish someone could sing it for me, but I will just read the words to you. I will tell you that this was such an anthem for my soul, because as I was healing and as I was believing what the Word said about me and what God said about me and that he really did love me and he was pleased with me, I could sing this song and just cry and sing. And so I did sing it at church, and if you knew me, I can't sing. I really can't sing, but it didn't matter because I was going to sing it, and I sang it with some people at my church. And anyway, but you know, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased with me, even with me, with the mistakes that I made, and then I'm never alone. And then I would just sing, I'm loved, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. And I don't know if any of you felt the same way about that song, but it just spoke to me. So finally, in 2014, I came to the Women's Care Center to volunteer. And as a part of the volunteer history packet, I revealed my abortion and I started a post-abortive study with Janet Kimes entitled Her Choice to Heal. And I guess, you know, this is kind of a picture of me wanting to do this study, but if you ask Janet, she would tell you that I didn't want to do this study. I believed that I was just fine and that this was in the past and I was just fine. But this study and God's continued work in me finally helped me feel whole again. And I joined the staff in January of 2017, and back to me telling you that 2017 was a pivotal year for me. I was able to tell my mother about my abortion, my daughter, and finally my son, and so it was a huge year. I had that as a goal, because as I let the light shine on my secret, and I brought it out of the darkness, the remaining bits of dead life are coming off, that I might have life, and I might have it abundantly. I want to present to you four reasons why we should affirm life and be able to offer abundant life to those considering abortion and those hurting from past decisions of abortion. We need to know these as deep truth and be able to live out our lives based on them. First of all, the Bible affirms life. We're made in God's image. Many of you have studied these scriptures and you know this. These are the scriptures there. The shedding of innocent blood is forgiven, or is forbidden. And you can know that verse also. Beyond those that believe and share in our faith in Jesus Christ, there are still reasons to affirm life, right? So those that may not share our faith yet, there are still reasons to affirm life. And the second one is that science affirms life. The science of embryology is clear. From the earliest stages of development, the unborn are distinct. They're living and whole human beings. Human embryo differs from mere bodily cells, and it's already a human being. And the third reason is logic affirms life. Either you believe that each and every human being has an equal right to life, or you don't. Secular critics will argue things like age and cognitive thinking and understanding and characteristics of the unborn make them more or less valuable, or even of the elderly, make them more or less deserving of life. This just justifies logic, because if an embryo is left to grow, it becomes human and nothing else. We have value simply because we are human and because we bear the image of our Creator. And the fourth one is our founding documents affirm life. Every human being is endowed by their Creator with a certain inalienable rights. The first of this right is the right to life. I know many of you recognize the lies in the abortion choice provided by the law. I know, like me, you see the hand of Satan on this option. But you may not know all the subtleness and cunningness used in the world in the substantially profitable business of abortion. Women march and fight for their reproductive rights, holding signs that say all kinds of things like, "It's my body, it's my choice." The industry displays billboards reading these things right here: abortion is a blessing, abortion is necessary, abortion is safer than childbearing. And those two particular ones on the bottom are in a campaign in the Cleveland area right now. Another method that they're using is sly marketing to soften the language to make it more palatable so that it doesn't seem like anything but just a minor blip in the road. The lies go on and on. And abortion is the only solution many women feel will help them maintain their current life, and no one will ever know. Once you've been pregnant, you cannot not have been pregnant. The secret lie of abortion is a secret that will cripple, for nothing is hidden that will not be evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to life. Luke 8:17. CareNet, which is an affiliate governance organization that helps pregnancy care centers like ours, they did a survey in 2015 about abortion in the church and found that 35% of the women who had had an abortion attended church once a week or more. We also know that by the age of 45, in the general population, 3 out of 10 or some surveys say 1 in 3 have chosen abortion before the age of 45. So of the 1,000-plus respondents to the CareNet survey entitled Abortion in the Church, the same percentage inside the church is choosing abortion. I wonder if the reason abortion is still a scarce subject inside many of our churches is the same reason I wasn't capable of helping other women until just a few years ago. We have to allow light into the darkness wherever it exists. It doesn't mean that everybody's called to stand up and give their testimony in front of an audience like I am today. But the more I meet one-on-one with other women and talk to them about the lifelong effects of the decision that I made, the more what was meant for evil, God will use for good and his glory. Abortion has affected so many, whether it be another woman in this church that's had an abortion, or whether it be a man who paid for or didn't stop his partner from taking the action, or parents who felt paralyzed and insisted on this decision for their daughter, or someone who just helped by paying for or going to or not stopping somebody that they wanted to stop. We've all been affected. So many have been affected by abortion in our churches. Sometimes we think of the issue of abortion as foreign and isn't happening and hasn't happened right around the corner from us, but the numbers are too large for it not to have impacted so many in each and every church. And we're amiss not to speak about abortion as we confess our faith in Jesus Christ, because those affected by abortion need to know his saving grace and his redemptive power. More than 50% of the women surveyed in the survey above did not believe the pastor's teaching on forgiveness included the sin of abortion. So they come, they listen, they don't believe they're included in this forgiveness that Jesus offers. They need to know that Jesus died for them and loves them. He wants them to repent, to confess, and to call on him for salvation. For those who've already repented and have been forgiven, Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So like me, you may need some help in this process. We need to allow light to shine on our darkness so what was meant for evil can be used for good. And that Her Choice to Heal is the abortion material that I was talking about. And she actually has online at her Choice to Heal, she has a post-abortive material there online that you can go through. So if that's something that you're interested in checking out. So at Women's Care Center, we love our neighbors, we speak words of life, and we're being a sweet aroma of Christ. And I know that I presented to you the statistics of abortion and the horrible things that are being said in the industry and, you know, what Satan's using. I want you to know that even though we have righteous anger against what he's using, we love on women. That's what we do. We love on them, we talk to them, and we offer life to them, both through Christ and through the ultrasound. So we're not holding signs. We are loving on women. Until the day when abortion is unthinkable, similar to the social issue of slavery was in prior generations, we're going to be in Parkersburg, reaching women with the sweet aroma of Christ and his life offer. So what can you do? Well, first you can pray and ask God what role he would have you play in the important issue of abortion facing our nation, our state, and our churches. And hopefully I've opened your eyes a little bit to how it's not something that isn't happening in our church. It isn't happening in our, you know, it's happening everywhere, around the corner from you. You can ask God how Porterfield could possibly prepare to help post-abortive women and men. You can refer anyone that you might know or hear of in an unplanned pregnancy to Women's Care Center. We recently, in the last couple months, had a businessman in the community called our director, Janet Kimes, and told her that we had changed the course of a girl's life today, and he wanted us to know. He didn't even know we existed, but he felt like when you did something so impactful to somebody that somebody ought to raise up and say thank you, and he called us, and it was because that very day, a woman and her mother were headed to an abortion clinic in Cleveland, and they came to him before they left to borrow money, and he said, I'll loan money for a lot of things, but I will not loan money for an abortion. but he didn't know exactly what to do next. So he called a friend that was sort of a spiritual mentor with him, and that person said, take him to the Women's Care Center. Get him to go to the Women's Care Center. And so they did. They came and visited us, and through that appointment, and I'm sure God, well, I know God working through all of that, and through discussions she was having with everybody, she chose to keep her baby. And so, you know, it's you guys knowing that we exist, you guys letting people know that we're out there. Ask God how he wants you to get involved with Women's Care Center through volunteering or giving. We're always in need of medical volunteers. We'd love to add additional STD testing and treatment. Some of the STDs that we don't test and treat for right now are even more fatal to the unborn, but we need more medical skills, things like a nurse practitioner would have, a PA would have, an MD would have on a volunteer basis. And finally, you can pick up a bottle and fill it. Very, very simple. But we make, this year, the goal is $62,000 in change in your baby bottles. And I know you think that's amazing. I did too when I came to Women's Care Center, and they told me that's what I was supposed to make in those bottles. God just does miraculous things. It just multiplies. It comes in and it multiplies. So thank you, and pick up a bottle today. You can connect with us on Facebook through a group called Friends of Women's Care Center, and we'll keep you updated on things that are going on, share stories with you of changes in women's lives and things that have happened, and you can pray for us, which I've already asked you to do, especially for the nurses. I'm going to leave you today with a short video that we created for you to see. Thank you so much.
Human life begins at conception. Her heart begins pumping 22 days after fertilization. At 7 weeks, 4 days, she has hands and fingers. At 12 weeks, she has fingerprints, fingernails, and toenails. She yawns in the womb. She smiles in the womb. She laughs in the womb. She has a future, and she needs your help. Her mom has a choice that's hers, a choice only she can make. They need love, not judgment. They need healing and prayer. They need the Women's Care Center. And they need you. 90% of the women we work with will decide to keep the baby once they see the ultrasound. And you can help provide that life-saving ultrasound. Support her future. Support the Women's Care Center.
Thank you so much, Janetta. You may not realize what a significant day this is in Janetta's life, but also in the life of Porterfield, and I believe in the Mid-Ohio Valley and for Women's Care Center. As Janetta shared, she made this decision a long time ago, and then she came to faith in Christ and has experienced his grace and forgiveness. And she's been on a journey, and it wasn't until just this past year, and as recently as just, I think, a month or so ago, that she was finally able to share with her children and the final child that she hadn't talked with yet about this. And she was able to do that. And she wasn't sure what God would allow with the timing of everything. But this is actually the first time, other than with her family and maybe some individuals, that she's actually shared her testimony of the decision that she made. The first time that she shared it with a group of people. So, Janetta, thank you again for your courage. What courage. It's amazing. Yeah. What courage. And then to think, in God's timing, that we're live streaming this now. So what courage it took for her, knowing that and giving her permission ahead of time to say, I will share this not only with the church family and the people at Porterfield, but I'm willing to let it go out on the web. We don't know how many people will see this through the live streaming with Facebook. We're trusting God with this. We're trusting God with his word and with his love. And we're praying that people will sense in the words that they have heard, in Janetta's heart and just her willingness to share, that God does offer forgiveness and grace. And we want you to know God's word. We want you to know God's truth. We want you to understand his righteousness. And we believe in women's rights. But women's rights means understanding the entire picture, not just getting one side or one viewpoint or one story, but knowing all of the options, including God's option for you. And then to do more than just talk about it, but to offer help in tangible and real ways, with financial support, with emotional support, physical support. And that's what Women's Care Center does. And that's why I am so thankful that Porterfield is a willing sponsor for the work at Women's Care Center. And I'm so thankful for our volunteers that give of their time to help people in need. And so I just want you to know that I believe so strongly in this personally, in contributing, but then us as a church contributing to the work of the Women's Care Center. So again, if you're here this morning, I encourage you on your way out, you'll see the display that we have. You can pick up a bottle, put your change in it, or write a check, or whatever you feel moved to do to support financially the work of Women's Care Center. But also, I hope that you've been encouraged today to know what we're about as the Lord's Church here at Porterfield. We are his hands, his feet, his ears, his voice, his arms, and we can only do what we do because we have admitted that we are sinners. We all have fallen short of his glory. We have all committed sins, and that's why we need him, and that's why we are so grateful for his grace and forgiveness. So if you're here today, and maybe you've made that choice that Janetta made a long time ago that she came to regret, or maybe it's something else in your life, a decision that you've made or you're walking through right now that you regret, God's grace is sufficient. He is willing to forgive. All he wants you to do is to surrender, to admit to him, to open your arms and receive his grace and his forgiveness. So I'm going to close our service in this way. We are going to sing in just a moment, but I'm going to ask Janetta if you'll come and you'll stand right down here in front. And we have some Stephen ministers that are here today, men and women. I haven't looked around, but I'm confident that some of you are here. Would you please make your way to the front? I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you or single you out other than what I've already done. What I'd like to ask you to do is for our Stephen ministers to come up and just be on either side of Janetta. And the way Stephen ministry works is these are trained individuals. They've gone through 50 hours of training. I would like the ladies to be on either side of Janetta because this is women with women and men with men. So I want to reflect that in what we do here publicly. Wow. Wow. Didn't realize we had so many Stephen ministers. And we do have more guys. We had men at the first service today, more men at our first service. So I want to take a moment here so you can also see our Stephen ministers. These individuals have gone through 50 hours of training to learn how to listen and be compassionate and to understand the scriptures and about God's grace. And again, they are wanting to offer time with people to listen. They are caregivers, and they are here as Stephen ministers to support you no matter what you may be going through. Grief, loss of a loved one, a decision such as Janetta made and you're struggling with that, whatever it may be, loss of a job, just if you need somebody, they are man with a man and woman with a woman. But these Stephen ministers have gone through 50 hours of training and they want to be used of God. And so they will offer you emotional support and spiritual support with whatever it is that you're walking through, and they will keep it confidential. It is just between you and them and God. So I'm grateful for our Stephen ministry and our Stephen ministers, and we are getting ready to begin a new class soon. So if you're interested in being part of the Stephen ministry, we encourage you to contact the church office and let us know, and we'd be happy to talk with you about that. But I want to just say a prayer here today for Janetta. And if you're out there today listening to this, and maybe you're like her, you've made that choice and you haven't been able to talk to anyone about it, there are people who care, who love Jesus and who love you, and we want to help you. And if you've made that decision and you've talked about it, then thank you that you are willing to use, if you've trusted Christ, to use that to be an encouragement to others to follow him. So would you just join me in prayer? These are holy moments. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace. You knew when you created us the sins that we would commit and the ways that we would go so far astray from you, our rebellion, our apathy toward you, our ignorance of you. And yet in your great love, you created us anyway and you gave us a free choice. And what you ask in return is to respond to the love that you've lavished upon us through creating us, but then through the gift of coming into this world through your Son Christ, through taking on flesh and blood and bone and coming through the virgin's womb into this world, growing to be a man, a human being, the one true God-man, the mediator between God and humanity. So thank you, Jesus, for all that you continue to do for us and what you've done for us in the past and what you will do for us in the future. Thank you for laying down your perfect sinless life on the cross of Calvary and then conquering death so that through faith and belief in you, we know we absolutely are forgiven. Because even to those who put you to death and nailed you to that cross, you prayed for them and you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so we know that your prayer for those who have made the choice of abortion is, Father, forgive them. They didn't fully understand. They don't really know what they're doing. Forgive them. And so we know that your forgiveness is sufficient for every sin. So, Lord, help us now to receive that. Help us through faith and trust and belief in you as we receive you as our Savior, forgiveness, that we will learn to follow you as Lord with a heart of gratitude for your grace and mercy. So I pray now for protection over Janetta and her family, the work of Women's Care Center, all the volunteers there, not only here in the Mid-Ohio Valley, but across this nation and wherever Women's Care Center and this work goes on. Bless it, protect it, multiply the effectiveness of it, and may many more be set free from the tyranny of the secrets that they have held and that they need to be set free from and forgiven for. And for those of us, Lord, who maybe haven't made that decision, but we're struggling with an inner sin, a dark secret, Lord, thank you that your grace is sufficient for that as well, and you offer that forgiveness and grace. Help us to have the courage to talk to those that we can trust about it and lead us to those who love you and love them, that they might be set free and forgiven and a new direction in life now begin. Thank you for our Stephen ministers in so many ways that we seek to reach out with your love in very tangible ways. So bless now our time and our lives as we humble ourselves, yield ourselves to you, confess our sins, trust you, and follow you, and help us to live in a way that honors you. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's what we're going to do for those of you that are present. Everybody that's up here, if you want, you can just go, you can turn around. You don't have to face and stare at everybody. You can kind of sit there in the front or stand. If everybody would stand, please. And we're going to sing and we're going to close our time of worship with this song. We're going to dismiss. But if while we sing or immediately following the service, you'd like to come up and encourage Janetta or have somebody to pray with you. Wow, what a great team of people, men and women, that would love to just pray with you about whatever it is that you would like prayer for. We are here for you. I am so thankful.